The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 1st, 2020.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, we're still in pandemic mode, I'll tell you. We're still in shelter in place, and little by little, businesses are opening, and lots of stuff going on outside in the communities. Lots of people that are protesting across the globe, against the violence that happened in Minneapolis, where a young man by the name of George Floyd was killed by the law enforcement there, and people are really very disturbed. They're out in the streets. And, you know, it's really interesting. I'm very privileged that I get a lot of different emails from different people. And one of the emails that I got was from our senator, Senator Mike McGuire, and I was really feeling very depressed. I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, you know, all this stuff going on. I need some words of encouragement. And when I read Senator McGuire's column that he wrote, I thought it was very, very interesting. He posted it on Facebook. The one thing that he said that really struck me, he reminded me of something that Martin Luther King said during the civil rights riots. He said that to remember that riots are the voice of the unheard. Riots are the voice of the unheard. And trust me, folks, there are many, many people that are unheard in this world. And so we really have to pay attention to that. You know, we need to make some changes in this country, especially around law enforcement and accountability. And we have to look at that. And we have to put fear aside and realize that we're in chaos because many, many changes are happening. And my prayer is that it all works out, that we come to some sort of peaceful conclusion. But every time I hear this, no justice, no peace. You know, the more I hear it, the more I see what's going on, the more I understand that. How can you have peace if you're not living in a just world where we follow the rules and we follow what we have set up so we can be a civil society? I mean, it's a very interesting and a very confusing time, that's sure. Excuse me, I have a little bit, allergies are driving me crazy. Well, I got a special email from our own supervisor, Susan Gorin, who is the chair of the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors. And I'm going to read that in a few moments. But before I do that, I want to let folks know I have two special guests today that are going to be joining me on the phone. Susan Lamont is one of them. Susan is a longtime peace activist and social justice activist. And she is currently affiliated with Sonoma County's Green Party, the Police Brutality Coalition, and Veterans for Peace. And we'll be talking about, you know, what's going on. We'll be talking about a protest that's going to be happening here in Sonoma County on June 2nd. And we'll also be talking about the a lot of different things that are in place here in Sonoma County that we need to look at. And also joining me on the phone is a very, very special friend of mine, Sabriya Abdullah, and she's going to be talking about a special Zoom event that is going to be happening on June 20th for the Juneteenth celebration. And this is going to be their 50th anniversary. Sabriya is going to talk about it, and let me just tell you just a little bit about what Juneteenth is all about. Juneteenth is the oldest known celebration commemorating the ending of slavery in the United States, dating back to 1865. It was on June 19th that the Union soldiers, led by Major General Gordon Granger, landed at Galveston, Texas, with the news that the war had ended and that the enslaved were now free. Note that this was 2.5 years after President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, which became official January 1st, 1863. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Sabriya and I are going to talk about the celebration and the Zooming of it and all the wonderful things that are going on. I have a new slogan. We're no longer boomers. We are now Zoomers. Well, let me read the little message that just a little excerpt from what Supervisor Gorin sent me. If I can find it. Oh, here we go. I'll tell you, so much paperwork. I get lost in the paper. Here she goes. Dear Elaine, we're going through a difficult moment for Sonoma County and our country with the loss of the life of George Flood. As people exercise their right to protest injustice, I urge everyone to do so nonviolently and with respect towards our fellow community members. I'd hate for a moment of pent-up frustration to lead anyone to do or say something that cannot be taken back. When expressing your anger, please remember that there are human beings on the other side of that expression, and we'll all need to work with each other in the future. Presently, though, we have this invisible virus stalking us, and that's where I'm going to focus all my energy and the email. And letting us know, of course, that we still have another 2 weeks for our shelter in place, and then I hopefully I'm going to have Supervisor Gorin on next week so she can give us that absolute update on what is happening. And then also another announcement I have is, like I said, there's going to be a tomorrow, Tuesday, June 2nd, from 5 to 7 at the Dollar Tree parking lot at 777 Sebastopol Road in Santa Rosa. Of course, they're going to be protesting what happened with George Floyd, but also in memory of Andy Lopez, who his birthday was June 2nd. He would have been 20 years old. Oh, my God. I'll tell you something. When you think of the things that have gone on in this world of late, it's mind-boggling, to be honest with you. Well, you know, I always go through this. You know, I believe our history is our strength. You know, it's good to know what other women have done. You know, it gives us more enthusiasm and inspiration, I believe. When I read all these women that I'm standing on the shoulders of, it really kind of excites me, especially now. You know, as we all wonder, are we going to get through this? You know, how's it going to turn out? What's going to happen? You know, folks, we've been through these things time and time again. You know, we live in a free society, you know, and one of the things in our Constitution, it says that we have the right to bring grievances against our government. And sometimes those grievances don't look too pretty. And we have to remember what Martin Luther King reminded us many, many years ago. And that was, the riots are the voice of the unheard. And when you think of what's been going on lately, we're not being heard about the environmental changes that are going on. I mean, our president has destroyed all the past information that we've had. You know, it's topping off all these different programs that we're working so hard to clean the air, to clean the water, and to do things that are really positive for we the people. You know, we're not being heard about medical. We're not being heard about people just eating. I mean, our children, we're cutting food stamps and all these different things that are happening, all these tax write-offs for the people who have more money than they can even. Ken and I are watching, you know, the story about Jeffrey Epstein. And the thing that's the most shocking, besides him being a little bit on the perverted side, you might say, but what's so shocking about it is how much money he had. And how many things he could do, how many villas he had and summer home, and he owned an island. And I mean, he could have anything that he wanted. And yet, on the other side of town, there's this poor person who's homeless, or this poor woman on the street with her children. I mean, there's an imbalance here that has to be corrected. And if we don't face that, it's not going to be pretty for the years to come. And I know for myself, I'm a great-grandmother. I would like to see a future for my great-grandchild and for your children, for heaven's sake. So we have to start thinking about these things and to recognize that rioting is the voice of the unheard. And instead of condemning these people, trying to negotiate with them, trying to sit down and say, what is going on? What can we improve? I mean, I think what happened with George Floyd, to me, one of the most fascinating things and the most progressive things that happened is immediately that they did fire those policemen. Usually it drags on forever and nothing happens. And I was also thinking about, different things that have happened. Remember Sandy Hook? You know, I want to read you something that I wrote. It's very, very, very interesting. Well, let me get to this part, and then I'm going to go through something else. This morning, it's a hard morning, I have to say. I have to say, when I got up and all of a sudden I realized it's another day of shelter in place, and then I turned the radio on and realized that the rioting that's going on, and then I read the newspaper, all the different things that are going on, and all I could say is, folks, we're going through massive changes. And remember the people, the shoulders that we stood on, that there are people before us that went through many, 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 many trials and tribulations just to bring this country into being. There were riots and struggles. So we have to recognize that. And our history is our strength. And I kind of course, this is women's spaces, so I focus on women. And here, June 1st, this is very interesting. Connie Chung became the second woman to co-anchor the evening news. 17 years after Barbara Walters became the first in 1976. Amazing. Amazing that it took that long to finally get another woman on. And now when you look at the news and you look at all kinds of things, it's women all over the place. I mean, we have come a long way, baby. But what we haven't come a long way in is being honest expression and making sure that we get all the good news out there. I'm surprised at some of the women that report certain things or take sides on things. That is just amazing to me. Well, congratulations to Connie Chung. Then on June 2nd, Dorothy West, who was a writer and novelist during the Harlem Renaissance, she was one of the first really writers to get known. And her birthday is June 2nd, and she met her maker, I guess we call it, in 1998. Then happy birthday to June 3rd, 1924, Colleen Duquest, actress, winner of 4 Emmy Awards, 2 Tony Awards, 2 Obie Awards, and 2 Gemini Awards. I mean, this woman really had an impact. And happy birthday, June 3rd, 1916, to Gloria Martin, socialist feminist organizer who began Shakespeare and Martin Booksellers, which is a rather big company. It was started by a woman in 1916, which was very, very unusual at that time. And then happy birthday, June 3rd, 1919, and she made her transition in 1989, was Elizabeth Coutts, the first African-American president of the National Education Association. So these are the shoulders that we're standing on. And, you know, we're shouldering, you know, people like Alice Paul and all these women, the suffrage that brought us the right to vote, and then the whole women's movement in the 70s. I mean, there's a lot of women who have done many, many things and who have been ridiculed, put down, put in jail, beaten. I'm thinking of Fannie Hamer, which is one of my heroes, beaten and put in jail. Because why? Because they were speaking out for women's rights. They were speaking out for equal rights for their people. They were asking to be treated like human beings and to live up to the Constitution when it says, we the people. And we the people have to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. We need some change here. Well, I have another announcement here. I can hardly believe this, that tomorrow, June 2nd, will be the birthday of young Andy Lopez, who was shot and killed by Deputy Sheriff Eric Gelhaus in October of 2013, when he was only 13 years old. I have to say that young Andy is the one who really got me going when it came to activism, because I could not believe that there would be a young boy that age shot in our community, not only shot but handcuffed while he was laying on the ground dead. I couldn't believe it. And I said to myself, this is not true, but it was. It was. And it still hurts when I think of it, and the struggle to get justice. And I can only imagine the grief. You know, I'm thinking the killing, the grief that follows this. You know, I've also often wondered, I would say to myself, what is it like when that mother gets that phone call about her child being killed or harmed or whatever it is? Well, I found out with my neighbor, when my neighbor lost her son, and I was the first one she talked to after she got that phone call that her son had died. And I'll tell you something, what I absorbed in my body, and remember, it was not me, it was not my child, yet I absorbed that pain. I could feel it, but yet it still wasn't as deep it was for her. But yet I felt it, and I saw the horror of what it felt like to lose a child. I mean, I think there's nothing worse in the world, to be honest with you. I mean, I pray every night. When I go to sleep at night, I just say, thank you, Creator, that I haven't had any bad news about my family today. And then when I think about, I go all the way back in 2012, and I think of the Sandy Hook massacre, when all those young people, you know, it was amazing. A young 20-year-old man by the name of Adam Lanza shot and killed 26 people, including 20 children between 6 and 7 years old, and we still don't have what they call gun control, you know, some sort of gun control. I mean, it's called common sense. I hear Senator Mike Thompson talk a lot about that, common sense gun laws. And we still haven't got them in place. And we still haven't had oversight in many, many of our counties with police and what's going on. So look, here we have this death. And it's just another thing. Well, I think right now people just are at the bursting place. I mean, you figure we've been shelter in place. And nobody's talking about it. Also, nobody's talking about the pandemic and what climate change has to do with it. So there's a lot of frustration around there. So for you folks listening out there, take a deep breath and ask yourself, what can I do? What can I do to help? What can I do? How can I speak out? And those of you who feel that you have to smash a window or do whatever you do, please think twice about it. You know, it was very interesting. Gandhi came up with the idea of nonviolence, and Martin Luther King really grasped that. And the reason that nonviolence became so important is because oftentimes there are saboteurs that create the violence. And if the group is really committed to the nonviolence and they stand true to it, it gives people a chance to look at what is happening. Who are the saboteurs? Who are actually creating the fires and some of the disruptions? So nonviolence is something that we need to think about. Not easy. It's not easy at all. I know this morning, even for myself personally, I had a little confrontation with somebody, and it took every nerve in my body not to just go off, but just to be calm and say, okay, I hear you, you know, and just go on from there. So there's a lot to think about. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and Ken's going to call Sabriya Abdullah. I'm really excited about having her on. And the song I'm going to be playing, and the reason I chose it is because one of my heroes is Sojourner Truth. I mean, she, you know, she was born into slavery, and her life was not what you would consider a bed of roses compared to the Caucasians of that time. And yet she was able to escape, and she was able to do things that when I think about some of the issues and some of the things she brought forward and the great poem she wrote, Ain't I a Woman, and that's what we're going to listen to. Just listening to that poem gives you a sense of what women of color went through who were locked into slavery. I remember when I saw that movie, 12 Years a Slave. I'll never forget it as long as I live, when the master was having an affair with one of the slaves and the wife found out, and the master ends up beating the slave, and the wife is standing there because she's so frustrated about what happened. And here's this poor woman taking the brunt of everybody's frustration. Why? Because she was a woman of color. And why? Because she was a slave. And you know, on some levels, when you look at it, we're still slaves. We have a hard time getting equal pay. We have a hard time, you know, look at what this pandemic was happening. Just getting protective clothing for our frontline people has been a real challenge. So there's a lot to think about. And when you listen to this piece, think about it. Imagine Sojourner Truth. Imagine this woman during a time with the volatility that was going on there, a civil war breaking out, all these different things happening. And yet she was able to succeed and speak loudly and proudly for her people. When we come back on the phone, I will be talking with Sabriya Abdullah, who is a member of the board of directors for KWTF Community Radio and host of the show Rebel Blues Radio with Sister Friend for the past 7 years. We will be talking about the Juneteenth 50th anniversary Zoom, which is happening on Saturday, June 20th from 1 to 4. So here we go. Let's listen to Sojourner Truth, sung by the New Harmony Sister Band.
Ditches.
13 children she bore, and all of them sold into slavery. Can you imagine, as a woman, what it must have felt like not only to bear the child, but to have it taken from you? And imagine what it was like for the child to be taken from its mother. You know, I think about the children at the borders. I mean, for heaven's sakes, folks, we've got to change. Well, welcome back. For folks, for you just tuning in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest joining me on the phone, Sabria Abdullah. Welcome, Sabria. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a thrill. I mean, one radio host to another. You know, before we start, I want to tell my listeners a little bit about you, if that's okay.
That is fine with me.
Sabria is a member of the board of directors for KWTF Community Radio, and she hosts the show Rebel Blues Radio with Sister Friend for this past 7 years. We will be talking about the Juneteenth Zoom 50th anniversary that's happening on Saturday, June 20th, and she is part of the planning committee. Well, welcome. Is there anything you'd like to add, Sabria? Anything you'd like your folks? And, you know, I'm very curious. Tell us a little bit about Rebel Radio, and who is your sister friend?
Sister Friend is my moniker. That's who I am. Each Friday morning, I have a show that really kind of, I take a theme and I work around that theme with music from the past and music that's in the present. I work with a lot of basically the blues, jazz, and other genres of world music.
Well, that's wonderful, because we need, and you know, it's interesting when you talk about the past. Why do you feel, you know, I've been talking a little bit about the past at the beginning of the show, about whose shoulders we're standing on. Why do you feel it's important that people remember, like I'm going to be playing in the next segment of the show, I'm going to be interviewing Susan Lamont. We're going to be playing For What It's Worth. And I found a wonderful woman who's singing it, but it was originally by the Buffalo Springfield, and it's all about protesting some stuff that has been happening. So do you feel that songs have a history, and that's why it's important that you bring these older songs through?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, you know, I'm a child of when I wasn't out there protesting during the 60s. I was a child that listened to a lot of the voices of artists of the day. I mean, if they were writing something that would, stir something that I was feeling, then I was able to relate even closer to what was going on out there, even though I'm not out there and present in that, you know, situation. It's funny that you're saying this because, like I say, history plays a great part in how the outlook of you know, any situation, you know, is. And the present one that we're going through right now, I mean, still has the stains of a very ugly history, so.
Well, I was listening to Amy Goodman this morning, and we always listen to it before we come into the, when we come into the studio, because it's a show before us. And she was talking to Colonel West, and he brought about a lot of the history, that this is what has happened, particularly with George Floyd, is something that's just an ongoing thing. But the thing that really gets to me about particularly this last situation is just so heartbreaking. I mean, when you think of the family and the suffering and the community and what's going on outside in the real world today. But it seems to me the fact that this policeman had his knee on his neck for almost 9 minutes and he's saying, "I can't breathe," it seems like it's gotten even worse, like there's no sensitivity whatsoever, and that's what we have to look at.
Well, just knowing that he didn't even care that he was being filmed tells you a whole lot right there.
Oh, that the arrogance. You know, I never thought of that aspect.
You know, I mean, I was just amazed on that part. So that lets you know just how bad things are. But, I mean, look, when you go into the history, and we're talking about Juneteenth, which is going to be coming up, even with the announcement of being free, even during that period in that time, you still weren't free. Because when a lot of the folks, you know, were getting the message, they weren't really clear on whether they got the message. And so, therefore, you had masters who were still playing, you know, the roulette game on people's lives. And so, I mean, it's been kind of like the same cycle over and over. And so the whole thing is, it's like, what are we learning from history if we're not really studying it? And is it really being taught? You know, is it really being taught? Because, like, right now, most folks out there are, you know, responding through emotions. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just wondering how much change will come from all of this, too. Because this is a lot of damage during a time in which we're in a pandemic. We've already been, you know, affected economically. This is really going to be, you know, this is going to be a heavy healing from all of this.
Well, also to remind, we have to remind people over and over that we have come through this many, many times. And I believe, what's particularly happening now and in relation to Juneteenth, and I'm going to read the history here so to give folks a little bit of background. But when you look at how far we have come and yet how far we have not come. Mm-hmm. And that's how we have to look at it. Yes, we've come a long way. Yes, we think of ourselves as no more slavery, even though we know that there are different blocks and different ways that you enslave people. But there's not that industrialized slavery, so to speak, today in the United States. But at the same time, there are still issues that are still happening and that are still left over from that time. Mm-hmm. And the big thing is the idea, the racist, you know, the idea that we are judging each other by the color of our skin, and because you have one color skin, you're going to have these horrors, and another you're going to have, like I mentioned at the beginning, I think of somebody like Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, the money and the power that he had, I thought to myself, no one person should be able to have that much power over other people. And that's what's happening now. No one body should have that much power over other people. So let me read the Juneteenth, and then we'll discuss this just a little bit more. And I want to know how you feel about the Zooming. Are you excited about it? I mean, you know, like I say all the time, we're no longer boomers, we're Zoomers. Juneteenth is the oldest known celebration commemorating the ending of slavery in the United States. Dating back to 1865, it was on June 19th that the Union soldiers, led by Major General Gordon Granger, landed at Galveston, Texas, of all places, with news that the war ended and that the enslaved were now free. Note that this was 2.5 years, oh my goodness, after President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, which became official January 1st, 1863. And here in Santa Rosa and across the nation, Juneteenth history, particularly in Santa Rosa, grew out of the Martin Luther King Festival that began in the spring of 1970. So they're celebrating during this pandemic time. They're celebrating their 50th year. So talk a little bit about it. I know you've been involved with it for several years. Why do you think this is important, that this comes up every year and people need to be reminded and celebrate this event?
Well, I think one major reason would be is that it really does, it really was the largest statement of something new with this country. I think that should be your more of your 4th of July than the 4th of July. It represents us very much in all kind of ways. And it's another thing is that we have to realize that slavery is still, you know, existing. So it's another way to remember that what slavery was, what it caused, what kind of... you know, I mean, the injuries are present even today. And when you have a day such as Juneteenth to remember how strong of people were to even survive such a horrific time in their history, then, you know, it gives people, you know, faith that perhaps some of these things that are happening right now will, you know, will grow from.
Well, it also feels like we never really, you know, when you think about it, Abraham Lincoln was shot. So the Emancipation Proclamation never really had its true due, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then people have not really been free. I mean, they've been bottlenecked into different states, different ways of living, different economic classes. You know, and right now, what's so interesting to me is that all of us are being dumped into. I mean, this is the highest level, even worse than our depression. This is the highest level of unemployment and loss that the country has ever seen.
Oh, my God.
You know, so when you start thinking about it, it's almost like, to me, it's almost like a pimple. You know, you have this bad pimple on your face, and it's always nagging you, and you put cream on it, you put everything you can possibly think on it, and nothing happens. And then one day the darn thing just bursts, and it gets infected, and you go through all kinds of different things, and finally it's healed. And I think that's what we're going through now. We're going through a time of really looking at not only the past, but how the past has influenced the present, and how it's what the future looks like if we don't change.
Right. Very much.
So there's life. So what do you think about? Tell me a little bit about what your part was. I know last year you played a part with
You know, when I was thinking about Juneteenth, and I know for many of the folks on the committee, they're longtime folks who have lived here in this community, and I have not had that longevity with the Juneteenth celebration here, but the times that when I began and the times that I have participated, there's been different, each time had different types of energy and different strokes of folks. But the key folks would always be there, the ones who were part of the whole building of that community that brought about this celebration every year. And when I speak to people who live here during those past, they used to talk about people coming from all over. And now most of those folks have their own, you know, Juneteenth celebrations in their communities. It's good to have that. It's good for the community to come together and embrace a part of our history. And at the same time, it would be wonderful to start seeing more diversity of our people as far as, you know, coming together for this type of celebration.
Well,
it's an American, you know, celebration. I mean, you know, there was a lot of blood that was shed. And, it, you know, on both sides, and we were supposed to be trying to heal from that, but each and every time there's always been some type of repetitive obstacle in the way from that growth. They got a series on right now, and I don't know, you know, if people get a chance to watch it. It was about Grant and what happened after the Civil War, and he as president, and Reconstruction, and all the positive things that were happening when Reconstruction was going on. But then once the House changed, then things began to go back to what they were, except with a different face. And that's when you had the, you know, Ku Klux Klan and all those kind of things. So it's always been challenged, you know.
Well, let's hold that.
It's been a challenge.
Let's hold that thought. And
okay.
Well, we've come to the end of our segment. It goes by so fast, I can't stand it. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Sabria. And let me tell my listeners, this year is going to be different. The organizers decided to Zoom the celebration that will will feature an opening prayer, singers, a bit of history, speakers, and music. There also will be a presentation of two scholarships for students that are presented by Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow. And the festival will take place on Zoom Saturday, June 20th from 1 to 3. And if you want to attend, you have to contact Board President Nancy Rogers at nr0000@aol.com, and she'll give you the needed codes. And we will have everything on our website, www.womenspaces.com, for folks to find out exactly what's going on. Any last words, Sabria, before we say goodbye?
No, I hope that many of your audience will come on board and check this this holiday out with us, this celebration of life.
And tell us once again, when is Rebel Radio show on?
Rebel Blues is on Friday mornings from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
And how do they
stream
get
stream us on kwtf.net.
Well, thank you. From one radio station to another, wishing you the one woman's show to another, wishing you the greatest of success.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for having me, and you as well.
Well, thank you, my love, and I look forward to our Zoom date.
Okay. Have a wonderful day. Peace.
Bye-bye. Oh, I just love Sabria. She's just one of my favorite people in the whole world. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and the show goes by so quickly here. I just can't believe it. It's amazing. We're going to take a musical break, and the song I'll be playing is For What It's Worth, sung by Miriam Makeba. The song is timely for what is going on in today's world. A little history about the song. Originally, it was sung by the group Buffalo Springfield. Although For What It's Worth is considered an anti-war song, Stephen Stills was inspired to write the song because of the Sunset Strip curfew riots in November of 1966. And I remember that. A series of early counterculture era clashes that took place between police and young people on the Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California. And believe it or not, I was actually working as a cocktail waitress at the Galaxy at that time in 1966 on the Sunset Strip, and I remember it. Well, when we return, I will be talking with Susan Lamont. Susan is a longtime peace activist and social justice activist who is currently affiliated with Sonoma County's Green Party, Police Brutality Coalition, and Veterans for Peace. We'll be talking about an event that's coming up tomorrow, June 2nd, here in Sonoma County, and also talking about IOLERO, the Independent Office of Law Enforcement and Outreach. So let's go ahead and listen For What It's Worth.
It is, ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I've got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Everybody, look what's going down. 4,300 people during these protests so far have been arrested, and from what I've been seeing, more brutally than ever. Well, anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest, my second guest, rather, joining me on the phone is Susan Lamont. Welcome, Susan. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hello, Elaine. Thanks.
Well, come
and
a little...
I also love the first guest.
Come closer to your phone. What did you say?
I said, I also love your first guest, and I'm as close to my phone as I can get.
Okay, they're perfect. That's perfect. We'll put up a little bit. Well, let me tell folks just a little bit about you before we begin. And, you know, Susan, it's really interesting. You know, Susan Lamont claimed to fame as she was the first guest, my first guest when I went on the air, which I'm indebted to forever. I'll never forget. I was such a nervous wreck. Well, she's a longtime peace and social justice activist who is currently affiliated with the Sonoma County Green Party. In fact, she's one of the first friends that I ever had on a ballot, Police Brutality Coalition and Veterans for Peace. She's also a writer, poet, and photographer. I have to say she's an amazing writer, and I'm happy to say she's a regular best guest, and like I said, she was my first guest on my television show in 2004 when I that I have produced over 300 television shows for the Community Media Center, and we're going to be talking about an event that's coming up, and if we have time, we're going to go into a little bit about Iolero. So let's start, Susan. Is there anything else you'd like to add about yourself, about that you've been doing a little bit different the last few years?
No, nothing. I do want to talk about, really quickly, I got a notice relayed from Andy Lopez's mother that they will be carrying flowers to the altar at Andy's Unity Park tomorrow at 4 o'clock. They want people to come without violence. Only those, this is her wording, only those who wholeheartedly remember him with love. Andy Lopez will always be in their hearts, and that whoever wants to sing or play music or pray is welcome. They must wear masks and keep social distance, and it's at 4 o'clock onward at Andy's Unity Park, Moreland Avenue in West Robles.
Okay, so that I will make sure that I get that on that website today. So that's going to be at 2 o'clock, and that's going to be a special
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. That's going to be a special gathering. You know, Susan, it's really hard to believe that young Andy would have been 20 years old. I was thinking about him. You know, the idea he would have been going to college and how proud they would have been. I mean, I imagine he would have been playing his music, his trumpet. You know, I mean, such a young boy, and here we are. Here we are in 2020, some 7 years later, and we're dealing with this horrific death of George Floyd. I mean, it's just it's mind-boggling to me, and what's going on in the streets, and even here in Santa Rosa, it's been very interesting to hear some of the protests that are going on and some of the frustrations people have. And I quoted at the beginning of the show a quote that Senator Mike McGuire reminded us, what Martin Luther King said, is that riots are the voice of the unheard. So would you agree with that? And let's start out a little bit about, I know there's going to be a protest on tomorrow. Can you talk about that a little bit? Besides the 20th birthday, there's a party for Andy. There's also going to be a protest at the dollar store. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Okay. All right. Well, the one thing I've been saying is that this is not a protest. This is a gathering to grieve. I've been finding, talking with people in all sorts of realms, that for the past several years, is one of the things that comes up is anger about everything that's happening in terms of the destruction of the earth, in terms of the treatment of people, in terms of the income inequality, all the immigration, all the issues. The thing that comes up even more than anger is grief, that people are really grieving all of this, and there's not much outlet for that. People get together in small groups. They may talk about it with their friends, but it's not much is done publicly. And so I was looking at this, you know, just kind of firestorm, essentially. And yeah, we had the fires. So many things happening right now. People being completely overwhelmed by it, the pandemic, everything. That grief is coming up more and more and more. So I am not calling this as a protest. There will not be a march. I mean, people might march off, but that's not, and that's fine. But that's the goal here. This to come together for people to grieve whatever it is they are grieving. Some of them may be grieving all of it. Some may have some individual grief. Some may be more concentrated on one than the other. None of that matters. The point is that we are saying that as a people, we're grieving together. Audre Lorde said there's no such thing as a single issue struggle because we do not live single issue lives. And so that's what this is about. Whatever, you know, I'm not going to turn to you and say, grieve this, don't grieve that. This is for people personally, just to come and look and see how many people are suffering on so many different levels. All of us have different levels of it, you know.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting that you bring that up because I think of my own grief, you know, on mm-hmm. a personal level, you know, what I've been going through the last few days. I've been getting depressed, you know, and I ask myself, what mm-hmm. is going mm-hmm. on? Why do I feel this way? And when I saw that film with George Floyd, and when I realized that January 2nd was going to be Andy Lopez's birthday, and I realized in my lifetime, I mean, I have two friends, two Caucasian women who lost their sons to violence, okay? And I think about it, I realize that Black Lives Matter, there are more African-American people that are suffering from this, but bringing it home, I've had two people close in my life that this has happened, and then young Andy, a young Hispanic young boy. And I ask myself, what's going on? And I think why I'm grieving is I'm grieving for the loss of our country, for the loss of our morals. I mean, for the loss of our compassion, our empathy. And I mean, one of the things that Sabria brought up that was very interesting that I never thought of with George Floyd was the idea that the officer arrogantly didn't even care about being filmed.
Like
it was almost like it was a trophy what he was doing. Like, look at me, yeah. I got all the power. And from what I understand, that on the audio, he actually said to George Floyd, now who has the power, or something like that. And so, you know, that in itself is very, it's grieving. And then here we are, I mean, both of us are grandmothers. I'm a great grandmother. You're about to become a grandmother for the second time, grieving for the future, with the fear of what is the future, what is ahead. So I think that's kind of what you're talking about.
It is what I'm talking about. That's right. So, you know, we're going to be saying that we're doing this on Andy's birthday. We're honoring him, but we're honoring him plus we're honoring those who've died from the pandemic. We're honoring those who've died from law enforcement brutality. We're honoring those who are essential workers. We're honoring Mother Earth. You know, just we're honoring through our grieving, through our losses. We're honoring and remembering everything that we have lost and that we are losing, and hoping to renew our strength to fight the struggles that we've all been involved in, and to keep us going. Because the fact that we are grieving, the fact that many people are depressed, doesn't mean we can stop. Sadly, you would like to be able to take, I mean, everybody should take some time off. Everybody needs a break. But that the struggle needs to continue. And we need to be doing it. And, you know, we get tired, we get depressed, we get really sad. And we need to keep going. And well, I think grieving, honoring that grieving, can help in that a little bit.
Well, you know, we had a lot to cover, but I think we have covered the most thing. But I still, we have 3 minutes left here. We're really going to have to rush along, in spite of everything that's going on, the grieving, the pandemic, all the horrible thing with this last death by police. And I mean, this whole thing. And meanwhile, we in our county are trying to struggle to get some oversight, the independent law of enforcement review and outreach Iolero. And for me, when I saw that foot or that film with the knee on his neck, I says, you know, we've got to have accountability. We have to. The time is now. And then all of a sudden our sheriff, you know, who we had so much, we had a new election for a new sheriff thinking, oh, things are going to change. Now he won't even listen to our health directives. And so what are some of the things that people can do? I know you tried to start an initiative. We had the pandemic. You were getting all kinds of signatures, and all of a sudden that stopped. What do you think we need to do in this community to push this, particularly at this time?
Well, right now it should hopefully be going up this afternoon, it'd be tomorrow, an online petition on change.org that will be directed to the Board of Supervisors, because they have the power to take this initiative that we can no longer collect signatures for, and they can put it on the ballot and let the voters decide, or they can just make it law. They can just pass it themselves.
Well, for God's sakes, why not? I mean, look at the money they would save.
Yeah, so we're putting this petition together, and you'll be able to find out all about it, and you want for the whole history and everything. We do have a website, and it is SoCo, S-O-C-O for Sonoma County, SoCoEffectiveOversight.org.
What was the next? Is SoCo what?
Effective Oversight.org. So it will give the whole history of how Iolero came to be, why it doesn't have enough power, what we think should be done about it, the history of the initiative, and then it'll have the link to the change.org petition that only Sonoma County residents to sign, because we're talking to our own supervisors. And people are always also free to call the Board of Supervisors office and say that we want them to do this as well. So that's our current effort to give this office more power to subpoena and do independent investigations, things that they're hamstrung now to do only sort of what the sheriff lets them do, know only what the sheriff lets them know. And that needs to stop. It needs to be stronger.
And you know, what's interesting about all this is that by having something like this, everybody is more relaxed, including the police. I mean,
it gives you more trust. Yeah.
And we have lost that trust so strongly. It is amazing to me.
Well, some people never had it. Quite understandably.
Black
people.
But I grew up in a time, you know, where Officer Good Guy came to class. Well, Susan, we have come to the end of the segment. Like I said, I'm so glad that you were able to come on and so great.
Can I give a few details about tomorrow? Because that is from 5 to 7. It's the Dollar Tree Plaza, that it's going to be very hot. So bring your own water, and there are no public bathrooms. Understand that. Masks required.
Thank you so much, Susan Lamont.
Okay.
You've been listening to Women's Spaces. This is Elaine B. Holtz. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 1st, 2020.